Welcome to the Natural Autism Doc Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sharon Alston, and today we're going to be deep diving into a fascinating topic that often causes some confusion, but I want to set the record straight for some things, especially as they relate to the differences between autism and Asperger's syndrome. Now, let's go ahead and get started with a bit of history. So anyone who is familiar with autism and has been studying and researching knows that the field kind of emerged back in the 1940s with two specific figures that kind of led the way and paved the way for what we know of autism and Asperger's today. And those two individuals were Leo Kanner and Hans Asperger. Now, Leo Kanner was originally trained in Europe, and then he emigrated over to the US, and he basically became the first physician to specialize in child psychiatry in the US. So he was a very prominent figure at the John Hopkins Hospital. He published his groundbreaking work on autism back in 1943. And just a year later, there was an Austrian pediatrician, Hans Asperger, who published his specific trailblazing observations on children with specific behavioral patterns. Now, we're not going to get into the controversy behind both of their works as it was in the earlier days, but to highlight some of the importance of what established and what we're working with today, I just want to share a bit more information. So with Leo Kanner's work, he established autism as a unique diagnostic category. And one of the things that he did was recognizing that it had an early onset conditions that had biological factors that played a role in it. And not only biological factors, but at that point in time, that was something that was evident. He identified core features with things like insistence on the sameness, language abnormalities, and social deficits. His contributions helped establish child psychiatry as a legitimate medical specialty and laid the foundation for modern autism research. As we move forward to Hans Asperger's, he was focused on what he called autistic psychopathy in children. He observed patterns in socially different but yet verbally capable children. He also noted that they had very specialized interests and their detail to the knowledge. They were very, very detail oriented. So really paying attention to the details of what their interests were. So Asperger's work contributed to understanding autism as not a single condition, but rather existing on a spectrum, and recognized that autism can actually present without intellectual disabilities. For decades, the terms autism and Asperger's syndrome, they were actually considered separate conditions. However, fast forward to 2013, when the DSM or Diagnostic Statistic Manual 5 made a significant change. And here, Asperger's syndrome was actually removed as a separate diagnosis, and everything was placed under the umbrella term of Autism Spectrum Disorder, or ASD. Why did this change happen, you might be asking? Well, I think there are a few different reasons. For one, researchers and clinicians recognize that autism does exist on a spectrum, with each individual having drastically different skill sets and cognitive abilities. So trying to create distinct patterns or of categories doesn't necessarily serve the individuals who are dealing with this condition well at all. So if we had to compare it to something or create a metaphor, it's kind of like trying to separate the colors in a rainbow, right? So you have to ask yourself, if I'm trying to separate these colors, for example, where does the blue end and where does the green begin? A lot of it becomes very blurred. So under the current understanding, autism is viewed in terms of levels of support needed. So level one basically means that the individual requires some support. And if we kind of extrapolate and add in autism under this ASD umbrella, this is kind of where Asperger's falls. They, you know, have some supports that are needed, but by and large, they are highly independent. Level two We have requiring some substantial support and progressing to level three, which requires significant support. Now, many people who were previously diagnosed with autism, excuse me, many people who were previously diagnosed with Asperger's might now be classified as level one ASD. But it's not always that simple. It's important to note that while medical classification has changed, many people still identify with the term Asperger's. It's become part of their identity, and I personally think that we should be respecting how individuals choose to identify themselves. Now, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about some of the common characteristics across autism spectrum. These can include things like sensory sensitivities, special interest, a need for routine, and some might term it very rigid or rigidity with schedules and routines. There might be a different way of processing information and social and communication differences. Now, remember, these traits can present differently in each person, and they can range from being very subtle or nuanced to even, very pronounced and obvious. Now, questions that often come up is whether one condition is more severe or the other. Now, this comparison isn't technically really helpful because if we're looking at individuals, each individual has their own unique strengths and challenges. That's why we now use the word spectrum. Another common question is whether we should still use the term Asperger's. And technically, while it's no longer a diagnosis, a medical diagnosis, many people use it because this is what they are used to, they're accustomed to, and this is what they identify with. So this now becomes a personal choice. As far as how either diagnosis affects getting support, with the current spectrum model, actually, it helps to ensure that people get the level of support based on their specific needs rather than diagnostic labels. And this is hugely important. And I think this is definitely in congruence and in alignment with what I do as a naturopathic physician, is making sure that we are stepping forward and providing individualized care. So to wrap it up, I want you to remember and recognize that labels and diagnoses are just tools that help us understand and support individuals better. The most important thing is that we recognize and respect that each person on the spectrum has their own individual experience, and therefore their particular treatment protocol or rationale might be very, very different from the next person who has similar or the same condition they are dealing with. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Natural Autism Doc podcast. If you found this information helpful, please subscribe and share with others who might benefit. This is Dr. Alston signing off. I'll talk to you soon. Ciao, ciao.